Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Happy Thursday, everyone on the internet waves listening to us tonight. Glad to have you on P4P Real Talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and my co-host, Kalen Patterson, is not with me tonight. So everybody send him some positive vibes wherever he is at, but I'm glad that we can all be together. Just a little bit of housekeeping as we get started. This is an interactive show, so if you would like to dial in and speak with myself or our special guest tonight, you can reach us at 657-383-1476, and that is 657-383-1476, and that is the same number that you can dial in tonight for your chance to win a free copy of P4P Sports, and that is the brand new athletic magazine that was just released by P4P Muscle, and let me tell you, it is beautiful, it is awesome, a lot of great material in it. Our cover story is Athletic Modeling 101, and just a lot of athletes profiled in there, good information, a lot of experts giving some good details to keep us all performing and competing at our best, so check it out and take a look. And with that, I want to give a hearty welcome to our guest tonight who is joining us, Joy Walker-Fisher. How are you doing this evening, lady?
Hi, Desiree. I'm good. I'm so excited to be on the show tonight.
I am so excited to have you on the show, and I have to share this, is that I actually saw some photos of you competing in a competition last year, and I was absolutely blown away because, A, you looked marvelous, but B, is that you are, I guess, what they classify as a little person. And I was just so excited to see you up on that stage shredding your stuff and doing your thing. And so I was on a search. I was on like a woman hunt, a joy hunt, trying to find you because I couldn't remember where I saw you. And I was just so fortunate that I ran into someone who knew where you were and was able to put us together. So I'm just so pumped that you're on the show with us tonight.
Well, thank you. It's about, let's see, a week and a half, a year ago, another week and a half, it would be when I did my first competition. And I'm telling you what, that is an adrenaline rush if anybody's ever done that.
It is, and I love it. And so why don't we go ahead and take a step back, because I definitely want to talk more about that and just more about your journey to getting on that stage. But why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself and just tell us about Joy.
Okay. Well, I'm 45 years old, and when I was born with a bone disease, a dwarfism, and it's called pseudoachondroplasia, and my family, my mom and dad, I'll just give you a little quick background. It was when I was about 4 years old, and I'd be running and playing and, you know, in the yard, whatever, and I would fall down a lot. And so my mom finally said, I think there's something wrong with Joy. And my dad was like, oh, she's just a kid. She's fine. Well, then he noticed it. So I went to a family doctor, and somehow I made my way to the University of Iowa Hospitals. And it was when they then did a lot of different, there's x-rays they do of your hands, and it's just crazy, and other people may know this, but then they figured out that I had a bone disease. And then to try to figure out what it is was the next step.
Because there are a lot of different kinds of dwarfism, correct?
There is. There's, I don't know of all of them, but there's quite a few different ones. Acrochondroplasia, I actually had a pen pal friend because when I was small, I didn't want to think of myself as small when I was growing up, and it was a true problem. So I kind of grew up, you know, nobody else was little around me. And my mom, my oldest sister, they would go, well, I should tell you, my dad passed away of a massive heart attack about, I want to say like 4 or 5 months after they found out about my disease. So that was really hard on my mom.
Yeah.
Because then now she's a single parent with three girls, and my sisters are all older than me. My oldest is 14 years older, then there's one 10 years older, and then there's me. So by this time, you know, as I get into high school growing up, they're out of the, you know, they're in college, they're married, they're on their own, and it's just mom and I. Mom never remarried. And growing up, as little as I was, yes, I got tormented. I got, you know, picked on. I actually got beat up by a girl one day, too, and the neighbor boy saw it after school. Yeah. But I think it made me stronger. But I then, myself, I believe that it gave me the motivation of, guess what? Even though I'm little, I'm strong, and you're not going to hurt my feelings, and you're not going to hurt me. And now, I just really feel that the world is just ignorant about stuff, and that's just our society. And it's, you know, if you're little and people look at you differently, there's a way of looking at somebody and being hateful, and there's a way of looking at somebody and being curious. So, of course, I've dealt with that my whole life, and I think it's made me a stronger person because of it all.
Well, I, you know, adversity tends to make a lot of people stronger, so I'm just glad that that's what it has done for you in your life. So a little bit of pseudoachondroplasia, so it is a disorder of bone growth.
Right.
And so I've just got a couple of stats here to kind of help our audience understand what this is. And plus, I needed to do my homework and understand exactly what this was. But from the stats that I found, it says that really only 1 in 30,000 individuals have this disorder, and it can be genetic or it can be just something that happens. So
that is true.
It's not, it is not like the rarest of rare, but it doesn't happen very often.
Well, you're right. And we actually went back and had a family tree done, one of my dad's cousins. And Carol decided to do this. And she was curious, as the rest of us, was there any other dwarfs in our family? And I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it was like in the 1900s that there was, very, very long time ago, somebody that was in our family. And it used to be told that because my mom was she 40 and my dad 39, something like that, when they had me, they were both older. Well, yeah, there is always the chances of different genetically things can happen. So that very well could have too. But I tell you what, I totally have the opposite problems of my sisters, though, because I have one sister like that's close to 6 foot, and then one that's pretty close to her too, and then there's me, a little 4'8". But we
so they've got the tall girl problems, and you've got the other end of the spectrum.
That's exactly right. Everything I cut off, like pants, she wants to add. So yeah, it's just the opposite. Or, you know, she can't get away in a crowd, and I can get away because I'm little. I can get through everybody's under their, like, armpits, basically. You know, it's like when we go somewhere or to a concert, you better be holding on to my belt loops because here we go through the crowd.
That's right. We don't want to get lost. Oh, that is funny. So some of the characteristics of this disorder are that it doesn't usually present itself at birth, but usually by the age of around 2 or so is when things start to show up. Usually in the form of, you know, the growth rate just falls drastically,
right.
And you were actually a little bit older. And then shorter arms and legs, wobbling in the walk, joint pain that can turn into joint disease in adulthood. So these are just some of the basic things that go along with it, and I'm sure things that you had to work with as well. And real quick, it looks like we have a caller, so I'm going to jump over and invite them to join us.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to P4P Real Talk. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, this is Darrell. How you doing?
Hey, Darrell. Great. Do you have a question for us today?
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused. First of all, 4'8 doesn't sound that small to me, but she does not sound like a dwarf.
I guess I didn't know there was a sound to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, like on the phone, you know, like dwarfs, don't they usually sound like, you know, hi, I'm a dwarf, hey, I got little legs, you know, like that.
Oh, my goodness. So,
have you not watched those shows on TV, the little people, you know, Big World, things like that? They don't sound like that.
Yeah, actually, Joy, he's been cut off.
Oh, okay.
So, but I'm sure that he can still hear you, even though he is no longer talking to us. So I just want to put this out there, guys. This is you know, if you have questions and they're constructive and they're intelligent, we would love to have you. But if you want to get on the air and show your ignorance, this is not the place for it. So, you know, give us a call if you truly have an interest and you have a super question, a real question that you would like to have answered, and that would be great. But if not, you know what? Jump on someone else's podcast because we don't have time for you. So moving on, so, and he's right, 4'8" is actually doesn't seem that short. I mean, I will give him that. And in the research that I did, the average height, it says, of adult males is usually like 3'11", and the average height for adult females with this disorder is 3'9". So you actually are very tall.
I know. When the doctors tried to figure out, because I've researched it, you know, myself, and looking up pseudoachondroplasia, and I don't actually have all of those. There's actually some characteristics from other dwarfisms, the other names of the diseases, and it's kind of like I'm a mix of more than one. And I am actually taller. When I have seen other little people, I believe, actually, I may be the tallest that I've ever run into. And that sounds strange. Because I feel like I'm very short because I would love to be 5 foot, even though when I wear heels, I'm like, woohoo, I might be 5 foot tonight.
Well, when you're in your competition heels, I know you're taller than 5 foot.
Yeah, those are fun.
So those are fun. So let's just jump right into that because that's the first thing that puts you on my radar. So talk to us about how you got, you know, interested and started in training for a bodybuilding competition.
Well, that's really a good story. I was started to work out. We have a gym here in Iowa Falls that opened up, our Dale Howard Family Activity Center, and wonderful facility for the town. And I tell you, I was in aerobics class, and the girl that was teaching it, she was the assistant volleyball coach, I believe, or just was done doing her volleyball coaching, and Brittany, and she, all of a sudden one night, all us girls noticed she was eating strawberries. And I was like, oh, what you doing there? And she's eating strawberries, and, you know, it's not a shake or something different. Not that she did that before, but we just noticed she was on this health kick. So she said, oh, I'm going to start bodybuilding. She started talking about it, and my ears perked because it's always been an exciting thing to me. I love to see physiques that are show the muscle. I just have a thing for that, and I think it's beautiful. So that turned me on. It is beautiful. And so the bulkiness, all of that. And some people are like, oh, that's gross. It's just veins. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I love it. So she talked about it more and more. And then I decided I was going to ask her more about it. And I'm like, so when are you competing? I got to go watch her. She is now pro, and so bikini. And so it was so exciting. Another girl, Starla, started also, that's from Iowa Falls here. And I kind of jumped on that wagon and found out who she had as a coach. And she said, oh, it's Jason Michael. He's out of Florida. You know, here I'm in Iowa. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he'd take on a little person. So that's where it happened. I called him and said, here's the deal. I'm a little person. You may have not dealt with that. I have very bad hips. They are bone to bone. They have been for about 4 or 5 years now because I had x-rays done at Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, and the surgeons are like, yeah, you need a double hip replacement, but I wouldn't do it now because you're only 40. So I waited, waited, and I started, you know, thinking that can he do this? And he actually was like, physical therapy is his background, and now he's going to nursing school. So he was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to act like it's an injury that you have. And since he knows the sports medicine, that kind of stuff, it was perfect. And, you know, we had hurdles like anybody else. And because
so
I was so...
I'm just going to stop you real quick.
Go ahead.
For a second. So brand new sport, never done it before, but you elect to go with a virtual coach in Florida just off of a recommendation. Now, that in and of itself is pretty brave. Virtual training it's not new, but it's just now really starting to take off. And that, I mean, and it takes the right kind of person to virtually train. And, you know, praise the Lord, it sounds like you got matched up with just the right person.
I think I did too, because, you know, when I took this time off to have my hips all taken care of, then I decided to come back and I was like, I'm going to go full force. And I was talking to my husband and I'm like, so what do I do? Do I see if Jason wants to take me on again? And his words were, if it's not broken, don't fix it, because he figured you out. And it took a while because I'm so little, and I got down to like 81 pounds right before I got on stage. So, you know, how do you work with somebody with figuring out their macros? It's not easy.
Exactly. So talk to us a little bit about, so he said, let's look at this from the standpoint that you have an injury that we're going to work with. So talk to us about some of the approaches and the training style that he took you through. And you got down to 81 pounds, so I can only imagine what you were before you started leaning out.
Yeah, let's see. When I started with him in March of last year, I started at 95, is maybe 93, how much I weighed. And it teetered to 89, 90, just like it does. And we needed to build some muscle. But I already had a lot of, because I'm not into sports and I never ran, I never worked my bottom half because that wasn't easy for me because of my hips and all the joint problems and arthritis. But I do remember taking pictures, you know, beforehand, and he's like, wow, I would have thought you've already done this before because my abs are my core and because I could work those. So, yes, my abs were awesome, but the rest of me was not. So, like box jumps, I couldn't do any of those, not just because I was little. It was just because my hips would not allow me to do that. I couldn't get down on the floor without, like, an exercise ball to get back up because my hips were so bad. So there was a lot of things that we had to maneuver and change. I couldn't do the bench press, the leg press, because I could do maybe 30, 40, 50 pounds on a good day because my hips hurt. So it was a lot of struggles of getting my legs to where I could even go to be on stage.
So what did you do?
I did a lot of the Smith machine squats, lunges.
Okay.
Squats, this sounds silly, but I would just do squats while I was blow-drying my hair every morning. I'd do lunges every day when I was blow-drying my hair. If I went to go do laundry, maybe I had to fluff the laundry, I'd walk and do squat or lunges on my way there and back, and just as much as I could with my legs where it didn't hurt until I couldn't stand it anymore.
Well, and that's really taking it to heart. Everywhere, I mean, I can just envision you now. Everywhere that you were going, you were lunging or squatting.
Oh, and I did wall sits at work, and I showed others how to do them, and oh yeah, crazy stuff.
And so, what was the response? So you're prepping for this bodybuilding competition, which is kind of exciting for people in general. But now here you are doing it. What was your family saying? What did people at work say?
Well, my family, I think, my sisters, you know, they're very a garden, and my mom is in the nursing home, has been since I was, she got Alzheimer's really early when I was a senior, and me not having a father, they then took over the roles of, you know, I think being a little bit more protective and worrying about my legs. So I know my oldest sister, Marsha, I know that was like, are you sure you're okay and this is okay for your body? Because they just didn't want me to get hurt doing it. And then, you know, the process of leaning out, you do get a little bit sometimes thin, but it's not thin to me. It was just me leaning. And they were like, oh, gosh. And it's not a healthy weight. I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to stay at 81, even though I loved every minute of it, but it's just not ideal. So that was a concern of them, too. Okay, now you're getting very thin. And I'm like, I'm not thin. I'm just leaning out. And it's the process.
And that it is. And I know that's something that bodybuilders, well, and I can't speak for all bodybuilders, but I know a lot of bikini competitors because I happen to be one. Across the board, you love where you are when you're stage ready, but it's not feasible to maintain that. And I guess I can say that across the board for most bodybuilders, because at that rate, you know, when your body fat is super low, it's actually not healthy. It's crazy. It's what we strive for, but it's not something that it's not a place you want to stay for very long.
No. And you deplete so much. I mean, I remember the day after, I was like, what? Did I really gain 8 pounds in one day? And then it was Thanksgiving time.
Yeah, no doubt.
And we went away. And I was not educated enough about the after effect. And so now I know I got so puffy, so much salt in my system that my legs were huge. My ankles, I had cankles. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I could barely bend my legs. As short as they are anyways, they were so tight. And I was like, I did this to myself. It was stupid.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just one of those things, reverse dieting and all that. I mean, you definitely have to. And that's just one thing that I want to go out and point out there, especially for some of our new folks that are listening that are maybe getting ready for their first show. You know, if you don't know about reverse dieting or how that's done, be sure to ask somebody, because that makes a big difference on A, how you feel, your health, and just if you continue to compete after your first show on getting you in that place to where you're going to be ready to carry on after that and not have a huge deficit to come back from. Because, you know, you hear the stories of, you know, yours was 8 pounds, but sometimes, you know, women are ultimately gaining back 30 pounds, 60 pounds. They're heavier than what they were when they first started, and it's just because they don't handle that post-show transition very well, and a lot of times they just don't know how to handle it. It's not something
right.
that's always talked about. So, well, something that's very real. So how long did you train? How long did you get ready for the show? So you started in March.
I'm counting on my fingers. How funny. It's like 8 months I did. 8.5 months.
Okay, and you actually competed in figure, correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So 8.5 months, at what point did it really start to feel real, like, oh, my gosh, I'm getting on stage, I'm actually doing this?
Exactly 3 weeks to the day.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because I was scared all the way up. I was like, I don't know that I'm going to cut. I don't think I can get down to where I think my brain needs to be. And I just everything. And my coach was like, that is why you have me. Quit worrying about all of that stuff. It will come together. And I'm like, well, I don't know about this. And, you know, 2 weeks before, it wasn't working right at first. But, like, 2 days later, it just started. And he didn't want me to, you know, lose it quickly, as people know this. It's like, I only lost 0.5 pound, and then another half. And he's like, that's all right. I don't want you losing muscle. We've got to do this right. Just trust me. And I'm like, oh, my word. And it worked.
And it's funny how those coaches know how to do those things, right?
Oh, it's totally. The best part was one night, I think it was like 3 days before. I just want to tell you this quick. Do we have time for this?
Oh, yeah, you have time.
Oh, good. Okay, it was 3 days before. So let's say I'm going to compete on Saturday, and Friday we were going to take off. So it was Thursday night. He said, we're going to do a trial run. And so I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? I want you to go buy, what would you like to have if you could have a carb, a chocolate, whatever? I had a Reese's peanut butter cup. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat everything like I would normally. I had my cod, I had my asparagus, and a half a potato. So all of a sudden, right after that, I had, I was doing laundry, and it was about 9:30, and I'm like, oh, I got to go eat that peanut butter cup. So I went and ate that peanut butter cup, and I kid you not, 20 minutes later, I am freaking out. My husband's like, why are you screaming? And I'm like, come look at my arms, my veins. And then he's like, drop your drawers. And I drop my drawers because I knew that they'd show up down in that area. And he's like, holy crud, look at your veins. That's almost gross. I'm like, isn't it awesome? It was the coolest thing ever. So, of course, I had to speed dial my coach, you know, and he's in Florida. I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this supposed to be happening? And he's like, I'm sure he was on the other end thinking, oh, my word, chill out, woman. But it was great.
That is awesome. That is totally awesome. And I have some more awesome news is that Kalen Patterson has finally joined us, and he's on the line. Hey, Kalen, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Kalen.
Hey, Joy.
Good.
How are you tonight?
Good.
I'm just fine. I have it's a statement because I love the story about the diet and the competition. But, you know, I think the one thing that we forget, you know, since it's so normal for us, is that a lot of this process is new to our bodies. And, you know, as far as dieting down and leaning out, the weight gain stems from basically from just being so new to something that was so normal, something not normal to what we usually doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, weight gain is basically par for the course because the body's trying to get back to the normal and understand.
I know, but sometimes it's really hard to get through that head that, I mean, it's a psychological
yeah.
thing. It really is.
Yeah. And that's what I'm, but totally. When we were talking about, you know, when we talk about moving forward, for anybody, I don't want them to think, oh, my God, you know, I failed in life, you know, because I've seen people that have done the best prep ever and then basically eaten like they wanted to and say, well, you know, oh, my, I'll never be able to do this again because I've totally blown it. And it's like you just changed your body. Mm-hmm. And now you're saying it could never happen again. And that's funny to me because it's like, well, you're basically going against everything you just did.
That's where I started, Kaylin, because just recently I had a double hip replacement this last year. And
yes.
I thought to myself, am I going to get back to the way I was stage ready again? I mean, can my body do this all over again? Because I feel like I did all that work and I took 8 months off. And now what do I do? And it
yes.
became a psychological thing. And people telling me, you haven't lost that muscle, Joy. It has a memory. And as I start to work out more and more, I'm like seeing it again going, oh, my word, there it is. Okay, we're good.
This is
awesome.
We
love
we
that muscle memory.
We share in that surgery part, yeah.
So let's jump back, though. But I do want to come back to this hip replacement surgery because that in and of itself is also amazing to
yes,
me that you have that done, and now you are in the process of prepping for your next show. But before we get there, we want to jump back to your first show. So 3 weeks out, you discovered the buttercup or the peanut buttercup, chocolate sugar veins popping, you got your heels, you got your suit. You've been posing for weeks on end, and now it's showtime. I mean, what's going through your head? I mean, what was the hardest part of training? And then, you know, I want to hear about how the competition went, and then what was the hardest part about competing?
I would say the hardest part about training was getting my food because I really like carbs, just as anybody else does. Mm. And controlling that and figuring that out to where I was happy. And I was told, oh, you know, just because I've read stuff, you should always eat the same thing over and over and over. Well, I don't like tilapia. And how many people shoved that at me that you needed to eat tilapia? I'm like, well, guess what? I'm not eating tilapia because I don't care for it. So that was the hardest thing coming down. And my husband's an avid hunter, fisher. So I got a lot of fresh fish. I got a lot of deer meat, and so I varied it, and it was perfect because it fit into what I could eat.
Venison.
Yes. Isn't it awesome? Yeah. I just had some tonight.
I am drooling.
So that was the hardest part, I think. For me, people would probably have thought it would be the exercising because I had that disability but of my hips, but that actually wasn't. We got past that because we found what worked and what I could do. And, you know, me being so small, all the machines up there, I couldn't really do everything without help because, like, if I do a bench press, I can't because I can't get the bar off because my arms are so short. So what are you going to mm-hmm. do then when you're by yourself? So I had a lot of different things that I had to change. I mean, totally change. And people probably thought, how in the world is that even working for her? But you have to do it. If you can't do it a different way, you have to figure it out.
Yes.
And that's true, and that's something I hadn't even really thought about because when I envision you training, I just envision a lot of free weights. But even that, you know, with the stature of your arms, getting them up off the rack, or if you wanted to use some machines or selectorized equipment, it's not set up for little people at all. So you would really have to have been creative.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wanted to pull that bar down so high, you know, when I wanted to climb up on the bench and grab it and pull it down and, you know, do my lat spreads. Well, guess what? I couldn't do any of that. So I had to go, and we have this wonderful thing, like I said, at our gym that it's got a three-piece, and I'm not sure what we call it, but I would hog that, but not really. I was really fortunate that I could go during my lunch hour and work out, and then there's hardly anybody up there compared to in the evenings or early in the morning. So I mm-hmm. could stay on that machine and get all my reps done and then go to the free weights or go to the Smith machine and do my squats, you know. But and a lot of it, I honestly have to say, I did a ton of stuff at home where people may think that, oh, I can't afford a gym membership, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can do a lot from home. So actually, you know what? That's what I did. Like I told you earlier, I did the squats during, you know, going through my house. I did lunges, walking through. I did a lot. I did a lot of ab work at home just because I needed that extra time in because I could only go to the gym for an hour a day. So I had to do more at home. I had an exercise ball. You know, there's things you can do.
Yep. And at that point, it's just about getting it done.
That's exactly right. And everybody that tells me, you know, gosh, I just don't have time. And I'm like, I really don't have time either. But I have to make the time.
Yeah. That's a tough one, because basically saying I've overloaded my life with so many habits of basically things that everyone else does, I don't have time for new self habits to increase my life. And
exactly, and help your health.
Yes, because I used to be one of those people that, you know, if I had my favorite show on, I had to be home in time to watch it. You know, now with the new medium of watching TV, which is, I put that in air quotes, you don't really have that drawback anymore. It's basically finding time to watch TV now, which is basically ironic in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to basically sacrifice TV to make the time that I needed for health. And I'm glad you said that, because it is if we're really concerned about our health, I don't see why we've made it such an issue to address it.
That's right. Yep. Well, even sitting down, I'll tell people that maybe have problems and they can't walk very far, and anything that they might have health-wise that's hindering them going out, then I tell them, okay, while you're sitting there watching TV, lift your legs up or get down on the ground and do some sit-ups and pull yourself up. And there's just so much. Go do a wall sit. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff you can do.
Yep.
But
yes.
You've got to be motivated. Right. It's the motivation. Do you have it or do you not?
And you, girlfriend, have it.
Well, thank you. I remember telling my trainer, saying, how come I can't lose it from this area? I want my butt, I want my legs, blah, blah, blah. And he'd be like, Joy, if I could do that and just say, voila, you're going to do this, it's going to happen. He goes, I'd be a really rich man. And I'm like, well, I guess why can't it just be easy? He said, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So true.
It's true.
But I'm so in love with it now that I can't get away from it.
And that happens. That's an occupational hazard. So take us to show day. Take us to show day and that experience. I mean, how was
show
it? What was going through your mind?
It was wonderful. I had the worries of my hands sweat when I get nervous. And so I was like, oh, gosh, I'm going to be up there and I'm going to be, like, sweating everywhere. And I would see girls. I've been to many of the shows and just not participated. So I would see the competitions, and I'd see people up there just dripping with sweat, and their tans are running, and I'm like, oh, gosh, that's going to be me. It's going to be running down my leg. It's going to be running everywhere, you know. And that was my silliest thing that I thought of. And I got there on stage, and that was the last thing I was thinking about. I was like, holy crud, you have to hold that pose how long? Because I'm not in the front row.
Yep.
We had so many people, and you had to be in the back, and I had to have that pose, and I had to have everything tightened up for like 3 minutes straight. And, you know, when I got the judge's report back, I knew it would say something that I needed to work on my glutes, which we already knew that, because that was my problem area in the first place, because of my hips and my not being able to do stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take that. But the best thing is that they all said 100% conditioning. And I'm like, by gosh, it better be, because my butt would hold those poses in that mirror at my place where I work out for 3-5 minutes at a time. And I'd be shaken, but I didn't care, because I was going to hold that pose. And I would see the girls next to me, which I'm sure it's fine too, but have to relax and repose again. I never did once.
Yep. Yep. I mean, and for anybody who's new, posing is so important. I mean, it is as important as your strength training. I feel there might be those that disagree with me, but, you know, your posing can make or break you once you hit the stage. So, you know, why put all of your hard work at risk because
mm-hmm.
you didn't take your posing as seriously as you should have? And especially in figure,
mm-hmm.
When you do have to hold those poses, in bikini you do sometimes too, but I mean, it really is about, you know, your symmetry is so much smoother, and you just look like a more solid athlete when you just like hit that pose and you hold it until
mm-hmm.
they tell you to move.
Oh yeah. Well, I know I definitely would have loved to have more posing, because they also did say it's the presentation of mine, because my arms don't extend because of my dwarfism. My elbows don't lock in. They're out, always out. So I have this curve in
yep.
my arms. So I can't get the same look as all the girls, and I need to have somebody that can really dissect how I'm doing it and make it just perfect. Because I remember, oh gosh, Judge Arnold, and he was like, you know what, everything was great, but I just need some help with that. And I agree. I totally do.
Well, and that's what I mean, that in itself is challenging, because part of pseudoachondroplasia is a hypermobility of some of your joints.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, so that'll be interesting, but I'm excited that we want to attack that and make it even better than what it already is.
Oh, totally. I want to really push that this time. Yes.
Okay, so they're calling out top five, and they call your name. And what's going through your head?
Well, guess what? I was out there more than anybody else. I went in five different times. What do I call that? Categories. So
yep.
I would be
classes.
Out there
yep.
holding all those poses, come running back in, and they're like, you have to go out again? And I'm like, yes. And so everybody working backstage, Matt, everybody, they were just like, get her a water. Oh, my gosh. And they're like, she needs to line up. And they were like, you know what? She's been out four in a row. This is her last one. Give her a break. And I was like, nope, I can do it. So, see, that's how I think I was really conditioned, because I was prepared that I was going to be out there five times and holding those
yes.
poses twice as long, three times, four times, five times longer than anybody else, because some only do the one category. Well, I did anything and everything I could my first one. I was like, you know what? I'm going for it all. Why not? So I actually, it was down to the very last one of the novice short, and I was like, you know what? I knew I wasn't going to place. I was like, this was just for me, nobody else. I wanted to do this for me. So I started to get ready to take my shoes off, and I remember him yelling, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm taking my shoes off. He goes, no, you're not. Well, he knew. I didn't. And all of a sudden, I looked at him funny, and they said, Joy Fisher. And they said that, and I was so funny. There was a piece of tape on the floor as you entered into the stage, and of course I tripped over it. So I hit the stage going, hey, it's me. I'm here now. And the place went crazy, and I went crazy, and I just had so much fun. So it was great.
Awesome, awesome. And that, I mean, I think that's wonderful. So you placed, you know, and it was in the novice category, you said?
Yes, yes.
Okay, awesome. So your top five, and beyond expectation. So that's your first show. Now I'm going to jump then to, this was last year, you had a double hip replacement.
Yes, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
I was going to tell you, you get done training, or I mean, get done with your competition, and you start your off season. So here it is in December, and I kid you not, exactly a month later, and my left hip would literally just, it was out. Every time I sat down, I couldn't straighten it back out. When I stood up, I had to do some little trick to it, and then it would finally straighten out. So I was like, okay, my hips are getting even worse than they were. And by January, I took a vacation with some girlfriends, and it was so bad that we wanted to walk around the whole resort. I barely could go and do anything. I planted myself in a chair, sunbathe, would walk back to the room, get ready, would walk where I needed to go. My hips hurt so bad because they were just so rubbing on each other, and I'm sure all the stuff I did to them to prepare did not help them. But it came to February, and I said to my husband, I can't do this anymore. We have to find a surgeon. And he knew it was bad because I'd been on bone for 5 years, I had had an x-ray done from a chiropractor, and he was like, I don't even know how you're walking. And I was like, why? He goes, look at this. You have nothing left. How are you doing this pain? Mm-hmm. Well, I would take naproxen all the time, and my son, he would research some stuff because he was in college, and he's like, you can't take that the rest of your life, mother. It's going to deteriorate. It's going to ruin your organs, everything. So I decided to look into it because one night I was eating supper and I went to get up and my tendon on between like your groin area was sticking out of my leg about 2.5 inches tall, and it was
wow.
so tight. Oh yeah, it was so tight. It was just disgusting. Hurt so bad that my husband couldn't even try to move me. Granted, he's a bigger guy, but he couldn't pick me up without pain. So I had to sit there, have Icy Hot on it, have an ice pack, and it finally 45 minutes later I could walk, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I went to see the surgeon in Iowa City, and he was like, well, that's up to you if you want to have them both done, but I'm not going to do them at the same time. And I said, well, I don't care, but you're going to do them soon, right? And I got in right away, had the first one done at the end of April. 6 weeks later, I had the next one done and done with therapy this August, and I have never felt this good. I don't ever remember feeling this good.
That's awesome. I mean, that's always what you want to hear when you're undergoing a major surgery. So what are some of the differences that you're experiencing now?
I can walk, like walk as far as I want to without pain now. I don't get tired. I can actually do the leg press. Was exciting the other night. I was like, oh, this is my first week back. I'm going to try this. I jump up there and get my little legs up there, and I push that sucker, and I was like, oh, my gosh, 50 pounds. That's what I used to do, you know, because it hurts so bad. So I'm like, let's go up. I'm at 90, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I can still do it. And then I thought, okay, I better not push it. But it was crazy because that was almost double what I did just last year. So I'm going to start to push the – I'm going to push it. But my coach is like, I'm not doing any cardio this first week with you because I can't run. And I was told that because of my joints, if I want them to be good for the next 15 years, I should not run with these new – everything is new in there, all of my hips. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. I didn't run before. But I'm telling you what, I feel so good. I feel like I'm 20 years old again.
Very awesome. And when we were, before we came live, you were also telling me that the way you walk is vastly different now also than what it used to be.
Yes, I had quite the waddle before. And then when it got so severe, I think it was more, they told me, the doctor said, that, or the surgeon said, because of the arthritis and because of the bone-on-bone, it hurt so bad that it would make me compensate, and it was waddle really, really bad. And people would say, gosh, you must be in a lot of pain today, and they could see it. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Well, when I went in to see the surgeon, he's like, you know what, I can make your legs the same length. And I'm like, what? Really? He goes, yeah, and how much taller do you want to be? I'm like, well, hello, as tall as you can make me. And he's like, well, I don't have that much to work with, but I'll make you as you know, as tall as you can. And by gosh, he did. I'm thinking one leg, it was about, I don't know, a quarter of an inch or something different. So one leg is almost like three quarters of an inch, and the other is half an inch. So now I went to therapy, and it's more of a psychological in your head so that I am stand up straight and walk straight. And I have friends, I have my husband say the word abs. Because if I am holding my abs tight, then it helps you walk straight. And so then I'm not back to the waddling. So I have to, it's an everyday thing that I'm going to have to keep telling my brain, you don't need to do that anymore. You don't need to do that. Your legs are the same length.
That's amazing. And I'm sitting here thinking, how did you compensate for that in posing shoes on stage?
Oh, it was tough. Very tough.
I mean, I have hard enough time in my heels on stage. I couldn't imagine having, you know, a quarter of an inch, half inch difference in the length of my legs on top of it.
Yeah, yep. And I had to have, of course, my shoes made because I couldn't find them small enough because I have a size 2 kids foot normally.
Oh,
and it's really
okay.
Tough to find anything. Yeah, I have a fat little foot. So... everything has buttons and bows and butterflies on them. Not really.
And they probably
don't
come larger than a half-inch pump.
Exactly. No, so those, yeah, I had to have special shoes made for me, basically. And now the gal that did it actually makes suits. She makes all kinds of stuff. She's in Arizona, so I got hooked up with her. So that was pretty cool.
Awesome. So your team, I mean, they're all over the place. Coach in Florida.
Students yes,
from Arizona and just, you know, supporters all across the board. That's pretty awesome. So, you know, now that you've done this and people are watching and seeing you, what would you say for, you know, to anyone else with your disorder who's still listening but saying, you know, she's just different. She's an anomaly. I could never do that. What would you say to someone like that?
I would say never should not be in your vocabulary. Because that's a really strong word, and there's just no way if I were to talk to those people. I mean, if they wanted to ask me about, I'm pretty open about anything, and if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I know there are a lot of struggles out there. Everybody's fighting their own battle, and I understand that. And that is what gets me through every day, is that when I'm down on myself, I'm thinking to myself, why are you being so selfish? Because there's somebody else out there fighting something worse than you are, and you're going to get through it. And I have this funny thing I'm going to tell you before we are done today, but I am a happy, happy person, and I'm almost too happy, some people say, because I'm happy the moment I wake up. But you choose the way you want to be, and in the shower, I learned this years ago, if you smile in the shower, you're going to have a really good day.
I'm going to try that.
It is the craziest thing, but I
too.
Yeah, do it, because, and then you'll think of Joy and go, oh, my word, she is crazy, but she is right.
I am so going to try that. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to be in there smiling like an idiot. It's going to be good, and I'm going to see how my day goes.
See, you'll be cracking yourself up, and you'll be like, oh, my word, because I do it every day.
Awesome. And then I'm going to write you and say, Joy, I was thinking about you in the shower today.
And I do my best thinking in the shower. It's probably because I'm happy and smiling. So there you go. I wish I had a pen and paper in there.
Oh, awesome. Too funny. So unfortunately, and I'm so sad, we are nearing the end of our time. But before we get there, Kaylin, do you have any last questions for Joy or comments?
No, I've just really enjoyed this show. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys, Kaylin, Desiree. I did most of the talking. Sorry, it's your show.
No, it was your show. We're just here to be part of the conversation. So it's all about you. And I was so glad because you have so much to share with everyone who's listening. Even if they haven't, battled some of the challenges that you have and continue to face, like you said, we all have our stories, we all have our challenges, and it's the same drive that's going to get each and every person through if they choose.
That's right. Well, guys, I appreciate everything. This has been a wonderful show. I'm so excited I got to do this.
Yeah, well, we're excited that you're here, and we're going to be – so when is this next competition supposed to be? What are you training for?
Well, my idea in my head was next October, November, and when I told my coach that I was ready to start, I told him January I was actually going to, but then all of a sudden I was like, nah, you know what, I need my brain, my body needs to start sooner, because it's something to do it on your own, but once I'm training, it's a whole new world. It's like I have to now talk to my coach, and I have to report in. So now I have to really be good. So I said, no, let's do November. And once I said that, he was like, so you're going to compete in May? And I'm like, oh, maybe. So maybe May.
Awesome. Well, keep us posted. We definitely want to go and just to see how your progress is going because, I'm looking at my next show in April. So even just watching you is going to help keep me focused and keep me motivated. So, and Kaylin never stops competing. I don't know. How many shows do you have left this year, Kaylin? Or are you done now?
One more show. I have one more show on the 21st, the Midwest States.
Oh, good for you. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Hey, and real quick, just congratulations. Kaylin just got done with the show. Was it last weekend? You were in Miami at DFAC, and you were second in your class. So congratulations on your hardware.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you. But I have to correct you on that. I got third.
Uh-oh.
I got third on that one.
You got third. Oh, well,
you know what?
You're always number one to me.
Oh, yes. No, if you could have seen the group I was with, I do not mind that.
See, that is the best thing is because when I went out there, I was comparing myself at first, and then I thought, you know what? Quit comparing yourself. They're all beautiful, and you're doing this for you. And sometimes that's a thing that we need to understand also in our own brain. It's just I'm going against myself when I step back out on that stage again.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's a great note to end on. So on behalf of Joy, Kaylin, and myself, thanks for joining us tonight at P4P Real Talk, where your body is a temple. So let's build it.